Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Carton and Roberts on the fan. 877-337-6666. Great to have you here today. Obviously, Yankees and Mets both win yesterday. The Mets are like the most dominant opening day team in the history of baseball.
I know.
And I heard your commercial read there. It does not surprise me that after Scherzer coughed up the two-run home run, so the Marlins tied it at three, and now it's up to the Met bullpen to get you nine outs and the offense to get a couple runs, which they did immediately in the very next inning.
Brandon
Nimmo
did
a great job coming right back and putting a couple on the board. Brandon Nimmo was great. You're like, I don't know if I trust this bullpen. Craig was in my ear telling me, wouldn't it be great if the Mets bullpen blew the first game of the year? So you put a couple emotional dollars on
it. I did. I had vision. And I didn't do it right away. Like, I was okay with Drew Smith. I was okay with Brooks Raleigh. It's once we got to the ninth, because like I said to you for a few days and you agreed, it would be horrific to lose on opening day with a blown save in the ninth inning. Like, that would be, that would set a horrible tone for the season, one game or not. He was facing the heart of the Marlins order. It's David Robertson's Met debut. I needed, for my own sanity, to take out emotional insurance. And to the credit of David Robertson, Craig, he didn't even make a sweat. Bing, bing, bing. Good night.
Bullpen did a great job with three different guys, right? Nine outs, all good.
Oh, that was great. That made me feel so good. It kind of saved opening day.
Yeah.
Because I was a little upset with the whole Verlander thing.
You were upset with the Verlander. I forgot
about
that. That's right.
I was.
Yeah, the Met fan day did not start off well. It ended good, but it did not start off good.
Correct.
And then, of course, DeGrom gets shelled and the Phillies lose, even though they did come back. So that was good, too.
It was.
Yeah,
it was. I'm not rooting against DeGrom, but I think because of what happened to Verlander,
it was important that DeGrom lost.
It made me feel slightly better.
Of course,
and just remember this. Verlander is DeGrom's replacement, right? Clearly, he is the guy to replace DeGrom. The Mets did not get a start from Jacob DeGrom until August last year.
And how many total starts last year?
What was it, 12, 11,
something like that. All right.
But he didn't make a start until August. So the Tyler McGills of the world, David Peterson, Max Scherzer being the lone ace, this is a familiar world. This is the world the Mets lived in for the first few months last year.
Here's Georgie in Mount Vernon on the fan. George, how are you, buddy? Hi, George. No George, huh? All right, no problem. Charles is in Brooklyn on the fan. Charles, how are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. What's up?
All right. So my question is this. Let me set the stage quickly. It's August. It's Sunday. 95 degrees. Runner on first. Two outs. Full count. Batter fouls off five in a row. Are we expecting that runner to run on the pitch and then run back to first? Run on the pitch. Run back to first?
You mean the guy can't run 10 yards?
It's not good. You're a suicide sprint.
Let me ask you a question, Charles. You're a baseball fan, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. How many total feet is it if you go the whole way between first and second base?
90.
Okay. The average player, let's say, on a foul ball, you want to even be exaggerating and go, gets about halfway down the line. Is that about fair?
No, they're three quarters down the line at least.
They're not standing on second base on a foul ball.
Well, no, Craig, on a 3-2, here, I'll set it up because I think he's right. He's right to a degree.
Okay.
3-2, two outs, you are taking off and you're zooming. And if there's a line drive down the line that goes foul, you may go past second base.
Ooh.
You may go 120 feet, let alone 90 feet.
So let's just say 30 yards? Oh, no. wait 30 yards. And by the way, yeah, but come on, Charlie. Here's the other part that you're totally ignoring as a reality. If the exact situation happens the way you're claiming, you know, five foul balls and it's 3-2, so, you know, whatever the situation is, right? If you have a runner that was taking off on the pitch because it's 3-2 count, and he legitimately is at second base now, right?
Mm-hmm.
The umpire's not going to be a jackass about it.
Well, okay, I'm glad you brought this up. No, because this is exactly what I was going to get to. Max Scherzer after the game, I don't know if you saw his interactions, but Max was asked about the pitch clock. And, you know, you could tell he wanted to say stuff and didn't, but he brought up the McNeil thing and started debating a reporter saying, did you think that was okay? Like, you don't think that the umpire should use discretion? And when the reporter said, on the record, Max said, no, yeah, on the record. You don't have an answer because you can't defend it. And Max's point was, and I do agree with him about this, can the umpire have some discretion once in a while?
Well, no, like, but here's the thing. There's going to be semantics for sure. So, if you want to tell me what's saying the same thing. It's not so much the discretion when the clock starts, but we've seen this before, like foul ball hits the catcher in an unprotected part of his body.
Right.
The umpire will make a point of asking for fresh balls, cleaning off the plate, like administrative stuff that allows the catcher to get himself right.
Yes.
So we're probably saying the same thing here. So, yeah, the umpire could very easily say, hey, let me go clean the plate off, let the guy get back, right?
Yes. Can you? And I think that's the point. And I've got no issue with that. That's where on the clock I agree with Scherzer. Like, could there be moments where an umpire uses discretion to say, all right, there's been three foul balls in a row. The guy from first has been running every time. I'm going to wait just a little bit of time before I start the clock by throwing it back to the pitcher. Absolutely. And I don't think any of us would have an issue with that. I think there are moments, and every umpire is different, so we know jackasses like Angel Hernandez are going to say, I ain't giving any discretion.
Right. There will be guys. That's right.
But I do think, and I think Max is right, there are going to be moments, specifically on those situations, whether it's a foul tip off a catcher, whether it's a runner is running on a hit-and-run play, 3-2 pitch over and over again, where the umpire can take his time. That's not the problem. That's not the thing we were trying to cut down on as baseball fans or baseball in general. So I definitely agree with Max that it would be okay to give the umpires a little bit more discretion when it comes to restarting the clock.
And to be fair, it's one game. Like, this is, I know they played a whole month of spring training, and in theory, you know, that was, you know, and it's just one game.
But you know what? That's not the biggest thing that's going to impact us 2 months from now. This is going to go away very quick because we're all going to get used to the clock. The biggest thing that came out of yesterday is the stolen bases, because that changes the game.
Because, Cody was telling me that last year there were 5 stolen bases on opening day, and yesterday there were, what, 934, I think?
21 of 23, which means guys were stealing at a 90% clip,
great.
Just to give you perspective.
Again, for guys like me and my kids that want more action, good.
Okay, but we have to have a discussion instead of you just saying, I want more action, good. They were stealing at a 95% clip. I don't think you want that. Ricky Henderson didn't steal at a 90%
clip. I personally don't speak for the majority on this. I'm good with it. I don't care.
I need to see more of it. I'm not going to jump to the conclusion after one game, but the one thing that is going to be different and is much more impactful in terms of the way the game is played and the results are stolen bases. It's become a huge part of the game. It died over the last 20 years, and it's because of analytics. They basically said it wasn't worth it to steal. Well, guess what? We have new analytics. It's worth it to steal. And you know what that means? That means your catcher better be able to throw guys out at second. Because for the last decade, that's been ignored. No one cares what your caught stealing percentage was anymore from a catcher. It was all about, do you frame the pitches right? Well, now, you don't want guys running on you all day. So I think from a baseball standpoint, this is going to have the biggest impact by far.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on it. Charlie's in Jersey on the fan. Charlie, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, boys?
What's up, kid?
What's up?
Not much. So I listen to the game a lot on the fan. So I'm blessed with John and Susan quite often. I just feel like last night more than ever, and I know you guys didn't hear it, you were a little busy, but I don't know if they relocated him to in the stadium and to sitting with the stands, but more than ever, I heard John and Susan, like every other pitch, every other call. I've never heard it so obnoxious before.
I don't think they would have changed the broadcast booth at all.
Well,
maybe.
I'm being a smarty
No. I'm saying, like, I think, listen, they're well-known. They got bobbleheads now. You got people out there drinking, having a good time. Place was packed.
Yeah.
You know, you see them. They're also probably, you know, trying to get the fans' attention during breaks and whatnot. Yeah, great.
Do you think we're going to start to see different chants? Like, goodness gracious.
I don't know.
Goodness like, gracious.
It's funny. I saw the video someone put out of the Bleacher Creatures, you know, doing roll call and all that.
Right.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened already. You know?
We haven't had a chance like that?
Yeah, like you did.
George's box.
Yeah, it only takes like about, what, 10 or 20 guys to you know, yell in a concerted effort where I think enough people would hear it where he would you know, come through, don't you think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, George's box would be a great one.
Is that the best one?
That would be phenomenal. If you got 500 people right underneath the broadcast booth there, stood up and looked in the booth and started chanting George's box.
Well, that could be a part of the new roll call.
Now, here's the question. Do you think she would acknowledge
it? No, no.
All right, would John acknowledge it?
You know, Susan.
You know, Susan, you may be hearing a slight murmur from the crowd, Susan. let me just tell people what's going on here. There's a strike to Donaldson. So there are about 500 fans beneath us, big fans of what we do, Susan. Donaldson fouls off the second pitch we went to. He's in the hole. And they're chanting, Susan, George's box. That, of course, is a reference. Donaldson fouls off the 0-2. That is a reference, of course, Susan, to your now infamous call about George's box. Do you want to relive it for us now? Donaldson takes high, 1-2. Susan, any things you'd like to say about the box of the Steinbrenner family?
She
would give him the death stare.
That would not go well.
Right? She'd be like, you know, John, I don't find it. I don't find, you know, I don't.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Like, if Susan actually had a sense of humor, and yes, Susan, I know you're listening, and yes, for the 17th year in the last 20, I am again mocking your play-by-play commentary of Roger Clemens being in George Steinbrenner's box.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Right, like a broken record, I keep on keeping on.
Oh, who cares?
Oh, you... I love it, right? That would be awesome.
I think that should be an addition to the roll call, along with every Yankee player.
I mean,
for John and a call for Susan.
The problem is that they wouldn't hear it.
Why wouldn't they hear it?
Get too far away.
They hear the Yankee roll call. They know that they're chanting for Judge and Volpe and Donaldson and Rizzo. They hear it.
Yeah, do now they?
This is on the Bleacher Creatures, though. This is not on the people underneath John
and
Susan.
Yeah, be nice and loud, right? Right.
Yeah, I mean, you need to add a roll call for the voices, the real voices of the New York Yankees.
I wonder if the Bleacher Creatures have an affinity for John and Susan. They must, right?
How can they not?
I mean, I do. You know, I love John and Susan, so yeah.
Of course. It's the fabric of the Yankees right there.
Oh, man, oh, man. Did you see, was it the New York Post that did it? Where they did like a minute-by-minute diary of Anthony Volpe's day.
Right.
And I'm like, this poor kid, man.
Ugh, God.
Like, yo, he was 0-for-2, had a walk, had a stolen base. So I actually consider that, you know, a good day because he got on base, he stole a bag, right?
Right.
All good. And he got game one out of the way. And that, listen, no matter what he did yesterday, you had to get it out of the way. But obviously highly anticipated, local, you know, homegrown, yeah, blah, 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 blah. But we are setting this kid up, man. I'm telling you.
Dude, it's too much for him.
I mean, maybe it isn't, but we're setting this poor kid up. Like, they're going to turn on him so fast that it doesn't go well.
That's my problem here. It's not a negative towards him. It's that, and I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a Yankee fan who's sick of this. He's like, this isn't fair what they're doing.
Yeah,
everything's
about the fans, by the way. It's the media.
It's everything's Jeter, 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 Jeter. Jeter is, in my opinion, Craig, the greatest shortstop of our generation in terms of a guy that played shortstop his whole career. There was nobody better. I take him over Cal Ripken. That's just me. He is the greatest shortstop of our generation, and that's who you're comparing him to. And that sucks, bro, because the odds of being 80% Derek Jeter are very limited.
Right.
He's a Hall of Famer Derek Jeter.
Right. And one of the clutch players of all time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like, I'm telling you, we're. I get it. Like, you want to see the kid do well, a local kid. The story is awesome, and this is not. I know the fans are excited, but the media, give this kid some room to breathe.
Craig, Dansby Swanson's a really good baseball player, right? Signed a free agent contract with the Cubs.
You say so.
Okay, was that not a good example?
For people that, you know, follow the Cubs, sure.
Or the Braves? Or the Mets? He was in the division for a while.
Who knows?
If Anthony Volpe turns into Dansby Swanson, is that good enough? That's a good baseball player. He's only been to one All-Star game, though. Is that good? Hey, Big Mac. If Anthony Volpe turns into Dansby Swanson, and you know him full well.
Dansby Swanson yesterday. He has a very meticulously shaved beard.
Yeah.
To the point where it almost looks like it's drawn on by an artist.
Right.
Yeah, it's weird, if you look, I saw his post-game interview yesterday, because he was talking about Stroman, and I was noticing his beard line, like, it fascinated me. Mm. It was, like, perfect, like, it was drawn on, it was weird.
You think he does it himself, or he has, like, a person do it for him?
He's got a guy.
But if Anthony Volpe's Dansby Swanson, you good? Did you tell me, Big Mac, is that good enough for you?
I mean, good enough, I don't know. It wouldn't meet expectations right now.
Wow. Wow.
I expect better than that.
How about that? Here's a Major League Baseball player who's won a Gold Glove. He's won a World Series. He just got a pretty big contract from the Chicago Cubs. 7 years, $177 million. That's nice. The contract he signed. And right now, Big Mac, and I think he speaks for a lot of Yankee fans, is saying, yeah, he's a nice player. Not good enough. Okay. Carlos Correa. Is that good enough?
Well, hopefully he can keep his ankle together, but yes. I think Carlos Correa is one of the better players in baseball, yes.
Okay, so at least we got Javi Baez. Is that good enough?
No, he swings and misses too much.
Wow, okay. But that's the standard we're talking about. Like, Dansby Swanson just got $177 million. He's not the best shortstop in baseball. Nobody's saying he is, but he was good enough where a baseball team said, we're going to pay him, you know, $25 million a year.
What if Anthony Volpe turns into the Met career thus far of Francisco Lindor?
U.S. Big Mac, is that good enough?
Met career?
Yeah, 2 years. Had obviously a better second year than first. Is that good for you or no?
I don't know. Probably not his two best seasons. But overall, the player that Lindor is, sure.
Putting too much pressure on this kid.
That's the problem. That's my point. I'm naming really good baseball players. Not the best of the best, but good baseball players. Oh. And you're actually telling me if he's that, I'm disappointed. Slightly. That's the bar you're setting
But that's also right now in a chair over the career. If he's that kind of player but hits three big home runs in three different World Series and we have championships, I'll say, you know what, it was good enough.
That's true. I mean, listen,
I don't know. The expectations are probably higher than a couple of the players you mentioned. Yeah.
The Jeter legacy is postseason, right? I mean, that's so if he has those kinds of postseasons, then he could bat .265 and be thought of as he earned his money.
Craig, I agree with you about what he's done in the postseason, but Derek Jeter had over 3,000 hits. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love Derek Jeter. I love him. Love him, love him, love him, love him, love him. Everybody loves him. You can hate him, but you love him. He's one of those rare guys that's beloved everywhere.
Do you think with Truth Serum on Truth Serum Tuesday, if we ever ask Derek Jeter, do you want Volpe to fail, he'd be like, yeah.
On Truth Serum? No, because you know, guys like Jeter, you know, my dear friend, guys like that,
right?
I don't think they're bothered by the next generation of players, you know, even outperforming them. Like, there's certain guys, and it's only not all the great superstars, because some obviously do have, you know, that ego or insecurity, whatever it is, where they always want to be thought of as the best. But Jeter's one of those rare breeds where I think he would actually be tickled pink if Anthony Volpe had numbers that were comparable. I really do. I think he'd be bothered by it, but you know what? Because when you're comfortable in your own skin, and you're it's funny, you bring up essentially legacy, right? Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant yesterday comes out and goes, I don't give a rat's ass about my legacy.
Yeah, who are we talking about? I'm sorry, who are we talking about?
Yeah. Your former favorite player that you were married to for a minute.
Yeah.
A guy like Jeter, his legacy is secured. Like, Anthony Volpe could literally bat .390 and have 500 home runs and become the greatest shortstop that ever lived. Jeter's legacy doesn't get changed.
I agree with like 80% of what you're saying. I think for now, he'd have no problem with him being great. I think if he ever started winning multiple championships and World Series MVPs and it started to tighten up a little bit, then I think there'd be that ego push.
Do you honestly think that Michael Jordan is bothered by people that question if LeBron's better?
He doesn't want LeBron winning another NBA title.
100%. I don't think that Michael Jordan gives 100%. A rat's ass.
Oh, he gives a rat's ass.
Why?
Because he wants to be known as the greatest player who ever lived.
Not to
everybody, dude. Maybe to you, maybe to me, not to everybody. And the more LeBron wins, the more he won, the more stats he puts up, the closer that debate becomes. And I don't think he wants it to be a debate.
Yeah, my gut is that as competitive as Michael Jordan is, famously competitive, mm-hmm. I think he is pretty secure in who he is and what his legacy is.
It's not about being secure. It's about if the Lakers go on a run and get to the NBA Finals, okay, and they're sitting there playing the Milwaukee Bucks, Michael Jordan will, he may not admit it, he'll have his little Giannis jersey on rooting for the Lakers
to lose.
Okay,
let me ask you this. All right, I'll give you an example. Something happened. It's in the news right now today. LeBron James put out a tweet today, mm-hmm. all right, and that is apparently after tonight, all blue check marks on Twitter go away. And the only ones that will have blue check marks going forward are if you pay for them.
Right.
So everybody's the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
So LeBron James came out and said, those of you who know me, and this is a very rare self-deprecating comment. I'm paraphrasing it, right?
Right.
I'm a cheap bastard. I'm not paying the $5.
I saw that.
Right? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not paying for the... I want the blue check mark, but I'm not willing to pay $5 to get the blue check mark, right?
Yeah, I love it.
You think Jordan would pay? So that he's still verified as Michael Jordan?
First of all, that is the worst comparison I've ever heard.
That's a great one, right?
You're equating, will Jordan pay for the check mark?
So, yeah.
Does he mind LeBron winning another NBA title?
That's a pretty good comparison, isn't it?
It may be on the Mount Rushmore of horrible comparisons.
I could go get the book and I could check what the worst comparisons of all time are, but I'm not going to.
The question is, you as a famed TV and radio personality, are you or one of your companies going to pay for your check mark?
No, I would never ask them to do that.
But will they?
No. I can tell you that the fan won't. I can guarantee you that right now.
So isn't that going to create a hoopla on social media if we don't know who's verified?
No, because it doesn't change. Does it really change anything?
Yes.
Do you think there are people out there that would not follow you because you're not verified?
No. I give you an example, not really related to me. Whenever there's breaking sports news and it's happening live on the air, I always want to see, is this real news? I don't want to be spoofed.
Okay.
And when I notice the blue check mark, that's my first kind of thing.
It makes you feel better.
Yeah, it makes me think, okay, this is real. Now, I'll still click on it to see how many followers that person may have.
I mean, maybe Foxwood. It's possible. They did create Carton Show beef jerky for me.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, fan never did that.
When are you bringing that in for us?
I have it here now.
Oh, no. Okay. Can you save it for Monday?
No, I'm taking it home.
Damn it.
I'm sure I can get you another one, okay?
All right. Thanks, pal.
Yeah, you got it. There's actually a company, I think it's called, you can check me on this. There's a company out there, I think it's called Meat Card. I can check, it's in my office. I can check during the break if you want. Right. But you could actually, like anyone could do it. You can customize your own beef jerky to be like the, you know, like Evan Roberts.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Is it Meat Card? Is that what it is?
I'm looking it up right now. Meat Card.
Yeah, Meat Card. Yeah.
Yeah, you could put a message on jerky.
Yeah, yeah. So I have Carton Show jerky.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. I know nothing about the company. I can't vouch for anything other than I do have jerky. I mean, has my name on it.
Quite honestly, with the price of just greeting cards, I might like a messenger that I can eat.
You might like a little Big Mac beef jerky?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Nothing says I love you card says Valentine's Day. Eat it.
I must have put the wrong thing
Here's
in because I got
do.
The wrong
it's,
kind of meat.
It's, you went to a porn site? It's manlymanco.com.
Correct.
There you go. All right. Now, it's $24 for a 4-inch by 9-inch piece of jerky, which is 1 ounce total in, you know,
weight.
I guess weight.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was the occasion that they got you this gift?
I think it's because Nick Mangold was on today.
they figured, let's give the linemen some meat.
I'm not even kidding. I think that's what it was, because I don't think they're a sponsor or anything. I think we paid for it. But it is pretty cool to see it. Like, they do a good job on it. I don't know if they, like, laser in whatever name you want. So would you like that for your birthday, Evan? It's coming up.
I think I'll take it, yes.
So what do you want the message to be? Just Evan Roberts?
Evan Roberts is big meat.
Oh, no. You know what he has to be.
What?
It's so obvious. You don't know what your thing should be?
No, not really.
Shouldn't you get all your guests Rico Bronia meat?
Oh, that's a good idea.
That should be the gift that you get. Yeah.
You came on the Rico. Here's some Rico meat. Just like that.
R-I-C-O, Rico, B-R-O, Bologna, right? G-N-A?
Bronya.
Rico Bronya podcast.
Rico Bronya podcast meat.
No, is that so? Isn't that like duplicitous?
Oh, to say podcast?
Or repetitive? Yeah. No, to say meat, you dummy. Not to say podcast.
To say podcast. Yeah, we all know that Rico Bronya is the podcast. It's made it into everyone's vernacular. We all know it. Rico Bronya is just the podcast.
We don't need to call meat meat. We know it's meat.
That's a good point.
All right, it's $24. You want me to get it for you?
Yeah, I'll take it. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Of course.
What Happy would... birthday yeah, to
but...
me.
So, but would you eat it or would you keep it as like a keepsake?
Oh, I would probably keep it as a keepsake, wouldn't I?
Rico Bronya podcast.
Yeah, I'd hang it up on my studio wall. It would cause inspiration every time I record one.
Yeah, they have a bunch of other stuff here too, but the personalized jerky is very unique, isn't it?
It's a very creative idea.
Yes. I wonder how long you think it takes to get here.
6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, come on. I can't. There's no way it's that long.
I have no idea.
No, there's just no way. I think we only just probably ordered it a week ago.
Oh, all right.
I'll get it. So it's $24 plus shipping.
Thanks, Craig.
All right. You got it. My pleasure. My pleasure. My pleasure. Maybe we'll do another one that says Carton and Roberts on it.
Maybe that'll be the next one after I have my meat.
After
then we'll
you have the
together.
Rico Bronya podcast meat?
Yes, thank you for putting out
I kind of think like you and, who do you do with, Hoffman?
Hoffman.
Now, yeah. Is he on the air with you or is he just producer?
No, he's on the air a little bit, yeah.
So I think if you're going to give, I'm going to get you the Rico Bronya meat, I think you guys have to like taste test it on the podcast.
You got it. There you go. Like,
would that be the most appropriate thing to do?
100%. We'll do it.
I like that.
Maybe that'll be in honor of the home opener next week. We'll eat some meat together.
Just be careful, buddy.
What?
Just be careful.
Be careful with what? Eating the meat? What, am I going to get poisoning or something?
No. Be careful with your words, your nouns, your verbs. Yeah, your adjectives. Just be a little careful.
What do you think they use to write on the meat?
Is it branded? So they take like very thin beef jerky, and it appears from what I've read about them, it's a specialized laser engraver.
Mm.
So maybe it's not Burton, but it's like Burton.
Gotcha.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
And so it doesn't change the flavor of my meat at all?
No, I think your meat will taste just fine, Ev. It might change the color of your meat, though.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that might happen.
We don't want that.
I wouldn't go play pickleball before eating it, but, you know.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure of that one, but okay.
What does that mean?
There's always the guy that takes it one line too far.
You don't want pickleball meat.
And that guy is usually Big Mac. It's like I always say, don't out funny the funny, but you keep trying.
I keep trying.
Yes, you do, don't you? Uh-huh. By the way, Evan and I were talking off the air. Yeah, we're doing the Pete Alonso Foundation comedy show again in June at Paramount. Actually, I think we're going to be broadcasting our show live from there before the comedy event as well on a Monday in June coming up. You know, we put Evan to the test. We put him on stage. He successfully did 2 minutes on stage. I was singing Big Mac. You did sing for Fall Out Boy. Is there any type of performance art you'd like to do that night?
No, I'm good. I think I've done enough, though. You make it sound like Evan did that, and I haven't been put to the test. I was on stage and sang multiple times now.
Very well, too.
Yeah, at both the tailgate party and then the kickoff the summer party.
Right.
I had to sing Fall Out Boy, which, by the way, is Fall Out Boy, which is a very... I mean, he's a unique singer with a unique, high-pitched voice and a lot of scream singing. So I think I've been put to the test quite a bit. And right, if that night I got to, you know, get into a brouhaha with Pete Alonso...
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You already have you doing
then
something.
Then I'm certainly not doing any sort of performance art.
I think what we can do is, I was thinking about this, and tell me if this is a bad idea, obviously you could slap me down. If Big Mac and I recreate our exact conversation about
knows what happened.
Yeah, so... Yeah. I'll memorize it. I don't need a script. Big Mac will memorize it. He doesn't need a script.
Yeah.
And we will word for word recreate our conversation where I take my shots at Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
And then Big Mac can't wait to turn the mic on and turn the anger from Bryce Harper, a common enemy, into Pete Alonso. And I think that's the best way for everyone to see it. And we move on.
I think I can make that happen. Done. You guys are locked into that. And then... he does that right in front of Pete Alonso.
Correct.
And then he breaks into song. Correct. Great.
Yeah.
All right, done. All right, so we're all done. Connor, you want to do 60 seconds of stand-up comedy or no?
Yeah, sure thing.
Really?
Look at that.
If I'm allowed to, sure.
All right. Do you have an act?
No, I'd have to put something together. I don't know how good it would be, but
I can tell you right now.
But the fact that he instantly said yes, that's awesome, man. Like, he didn't hesitate in the Heeman Hall. It was like, let's go.
I have often told the guys that work for us, don't take off when we're not off. And that Tommy made his decision. He made a business decision to go to Vegas while we're on the air. Connor steps right in and goes, I'll do it. And by the way, it's how Jerry Recco got hired by me and Boomer all those years ago. He was willing to answer the call of duty when somebody else wasn't around. Yep. He got the job. We were doing a battle of the sexes at Hofstra at halftime of Boomer's at the time when he had the All-Star football game, right?
Right.
Chris Carlin didn't want to play or do anything with us. He was miserable because he thought he was going to get the job to host the show, and he didn't. And he became the update guy reluctantly. He didn't want the job. So it didn't work out. He'll acknowledge the same story. And we're like, what are we going to do with this guy? He's miserable. He doesn't want to work with us. He didn't like when I called him Mongo on the air and all this stuff. And Jerry Recco filled in one day, and we're going to do the Battle of the Sexes at Hofstra. And I didn't know Jerry well at all. Jerry shows up at Hofstra to interview everybody that was involved. Olivia Galati was like the greatest female softball player to come out of Long Island like ever. You know, All-American scholarship, you know, like 30 no-hitters. She was a badass, right? And I said, no offense, but it's softball. I'll get a hit off of you on my first at-bat, which, by the way, I did. And the second and the third and the fourth, and she didn't ever get me out. But she pitches really well. You know, and was a rock star, just not against me. So Jerry Recco shows up, right? And he interviewed everybody. And right. He put together, like, this really awesome report the next day. And we're like, that's what we need, a guy who's all in. Jerry Recco got the job a week later.
I apologize because I don't know the history of it. Did you fire Carlin or did you get him to quit? Like, what happened then? Because I don't know the origins of that.
We didn't fire him, but it was clear that it wasn't working out.
So what did you do? Make him miserable enough to quit on his own? So it was like you made him break up with you?
You know, it's funny. I don't remember exactly how it went down. I remember the problem was that Mark Chernoff hated Jerry Recco.
Yeah, I didn't like Jerry.
He's not talented, and he brings nothing to the table. And I'm like, I want Recco. We're getting Recco. And that's how we got Jerry.
Hey, think about it.
I think Chris did something else and then eventually left on his own accord. Or maybe, like, what year did he go to Philly?
I think he actually went to SNY. Didn't he start doing SNY stuff?
Or maybe he did, like, the beer trivia show or something like that.
Yes.
So he's doing Loudmouths, right? Or
so, yeah, maybe that's
what
it was.
He had all the TV shows on.
So you didn't fire him. You just made him miserable enough to say, I'm going to go get a different job and leave you.
I have never fired anybody at WFAN.
Is that true?
That's true.
Is that true, though?
Yes. Yes.
Are you sure about that?
I'm not the guy that had the "you're not getting the job" barbecue.
Well, that was you.
That wasn't me. That was you.
And by the way,
you're not that barbecue.
Jerry Recco is going to outlast Boomer. So Recco comes in, works with you guys, does a great job with Boomer and Gio, and the day Boomer retires, Recco's still going to be there and probably replace him.
Probably not replace him.
Well, maybe.
Because he had a chance to replace me.
Yeah.
You think 10 years later they're going to say, now he's going to replace one of the hosts?
There's a different boss. The boss at the time hated Jerry Recco and thought he was untalented.
That is very true.
I think Spike may have a higher view of Jerry Recco than the former boss.
I mean, he doesn't, but we could go with that. We could certainly go with that as a possibility. I don't see why not. Sure, okay. Anyway, my point is, Connor, that was the right answer. I'm not going to have you do that because I wouldn't want to put you in that spot because you'd suck at it, but I appreciate the willingness to jump right in.
How do you know he would suck at it, though? He could have that understated funny to him.
He's actually got kind of a dry wit humor on Twitter.
Yeah.
A lot of funny tweets out of
him. All right, you want to do 60 seconds?
Yeah, sure thing. Maybe it goes really well. It takes off. I start doing Caroline's, local comedy clubs,
Caroline's
an HBO special.
Caroline's is out of business.
Oh, well, another comedy club.
People still gather there.
Maybe you just go to a girl named Caroline's apartment.
Do some stand-up there.
Do some stand-up,
That's a part of his understated funny. He knew full well Carolines was closed.
Oh,
but he threw
it.
That in there. I think he's going to be awesome.
So,
I really
he's going to be like the Stephen Wright of the new generation.
Yes.
All right. If you don't know Stephen Wright, look him up.
Yeah, knuckleballer.
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, Evan has no idea.
He has no idea.
Well, hold on, both you jackasses. First of all, Stephen Wright was a knuckleball pitcher. You guys can look that up.
Yeah, yeah.
The other Stephen Wright, who you're talking about, was a very funny comedian slash he did some music. So you know what you guys can do? What? What are you shaking your head about? He did do music.
No.
He was a comedian slash music guy.
No.
Yes, he was.
No.
He also threw knuckleballs.
He might have thrown knuckleballs. He was a completely Sahara Desert dry comic, almost to the point of being like depressed.
And you're claiming he never picked up a musical instrument?
He did not do music. No. Steve Martin played the banjo.
Yes, nope. That's who you're thinking of.
If that's who you're thinking of.
I am not confusing Steve Martin.
There you are.
Okay. And, no, I'm not.
I think you might be. Now, Steve Martin's a Hall of Fame banjo player.
Yeah.
So maybe you're confusing the two. But Stephen Wright was not a musician.
He was the guy on the couch in Half Baked. That was Stephen.
You know what? I'm thinking of a different guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably are, aren't you?
No, I definitely am.
What do you think about Craig Richardson?
Because
he plays the piano?
No, there's somebody else I'm thinking of, but I think it's a Stephen. Like, I think I'm on the right track here. I think there's a different Stephen who was a younger guy who was very funny, but he also played a musical instrument.
What musical instrument did he play? The gazoo?
I'm going to go with a guitar.
Randomly picking the guitar, yeah?
I think it was a guitar. Look, I'm telling you, I don't know the guy's last name now.
Okay.
I thought he shared it with the knuckleballer and the serial killer, but I will look it up and I'll find out the answer. Stephen something. Damn it.
Well, you have plenty of time to think of it. We're here.
Comedian, musician, Stephen something.
Was Stevens? It Steve Stevens?
No. Good try, though. It was not. As soon as you tell me, I'll know if you're right, but it's not Stephen Stevens now. Comedian,
but
guitar.
It's funny that
Adam
got
Sandler?
I got it. I swear to God.
If it's Adam Sandler, I'm coming to your house and beating you.
By the way, you guys are going to apologize to me. All I did was Google Stephen comedian and guitar, and it was the first name that came up.
Wasn't Stephen
Wright? Knocked it. Stephen Lynch. What up? Stephen Lynch.
Well, you don't get credit for that.
Of course I do. He was a musician.
Yeah.
He was a comedian.
Yeah.
He was young. It's exactly who I was thinking about. Stephen Lynch. And you don't know who he is, smarty pants.
Well, that says a lot since I'm pretty well knee-deep into the world of comedy.
He used to mock like daily life and pop culture. Look up Stephen Lynch. Funny guy.
Yeah.
Very funny,
funny
guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
Is he still touring?
I'm not sure what he does anymore, but he was very funny.
You're so full of it. It's unbelievable.
No, I'm not.
He just Wikipedia'd.
Yeah, you Googled,
and read it word
you got
for
lucky
word.
That a name came up.
By the way, Mac, he just said, word for word, he just said, funny guy, mock daily life, popular culture.
Yeah.
It's exactly how it says it on the dude's Wikipedia page.
That's
90% of it. I could say the same thing about Ray Romano.
Right.
Every single comedian
pop culture.
Life. Yeah.
But, guys, that's who I was thinking of instead of Stephen Wright.
Observations and pointed out to us? Wow.
That's right.
How about that?
Yeah, he did a great bit about fruit.
Right.
Yeah.
Just because you guys don't remember the great Stephen Lynch.
Yeah.
That's your problem.
Wasn't he once in a car drinking coffee with Seinfeld?
I nailed the comedian guitar player. Oh, give me some credit.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
All right, drop another verse. Carton and Roberts on The Fan. Evan, they're telling me that the aforementioned Olivia Galania called in. So we're going to take her call. It's been a long time. She's probably like 50 years old now. It's been so long. Olivia, it's Craig Carton and Evan Roberts. How you been, babe?
Hello, Mr. Carton. How are you?
Great. How are you? How's your family? How old are you?
I'm doing well. I wanted to call in because I hear all this crazy talk that you got multiple hits off me years ago.
I mean, I have the video to back it up, but I don't want to brag about it. I mean,
multiple hits. He said he had 5 hits off of you. That's well, what he claimed.
Yeah. Listen, Craig likes to talk a little bit.
Now, so are you confirming he's full of crap? Because most of us assume that.
Maybe. I may be implying
Why don't we tell the truth here? Line drive to right field, the first at bat. And then you came in with an off-speed pitch that I could not hit, and I'll acknowledge that.
All right, listen, I'll let you enjoy the memorable moments in that way.
Now, Olivia had an All-American career at Hofstra, if I remember correctly. And what are you doing now?
I am actually raising my 2 daughters right now. I just had a baby.
Oh, my God. My Lord, I'm so old. What?
Yes. It's crazy. She's looking at me right now. I have a little 21-month-old. She's almost 2.
Well, that's great.
And then I just had a baby 3 months ago.
Well, obviously, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Are you married?
I am. I have a wife, Diana.
Awesome.
And, and we're living in Staten Island right now.
Look at that. So you and your wife, you stayed local, which is great. And
yep.
No disrespect, but...
Went to Staten Island. I mean,
well,
yeah.
I mean, listen.
I'm just kidding.
It's affordable, Evan. It's affordable.
It's
not for everybody, but it's affordable. And is softball still a part of your life? Or did you have to, as you grew up and recognize that there's not a lot of opportunities to make a living as an adult playing softball, what's the story?
Yeah, it's crazy. After I graduated college, I had played 2 years professional softball, and then I became a teacher, and I'm currently on leave right now, but I'm a teacher at Bayshore High School on Long Island, and right now I'm doing some pitching lessons and maybe hoping to get back into coaching.
You're a natural softball coach, you know, for high-level young women that want to play, I would think.
I apologize because this just jumped out of me. How long is that commute from Staten Island to Bayshore?
It's a little over an hour.
Yeah, but I guarantee you that's... I know this is going to sound weird, and no disrespect to your wife, it's probably the best part of your day.
Listen, I love being home. I love my girls. I love my wife. We have a great thing going. So
and did you guys meet on a softball field or no?
Yeah, through softball. Yeah, we're both
Because it's funny, because I don't remember getting an invitation to that wedding. And I'm trying to, I'm checking.
You keep saying that you're getting hits off me. I don't know.
Nah, truth be told, Evan, she is, you're talking right now, and I know you're very humble, but one of the great softball pitchers in America history on the collegiate level. How many no-hitters did you throw?
I don't even know.
See what I'm saying? Doesn't even
you
know.
You lost count
by
on the,
way, the
amount of no-hitters?
I know. I didn't mean it that way.
If I had thrown 73 no-hitters, I would remember that I threw 73 no-hitters.
I threw quite a bit.
Yes.
That is badass. I'm sorry. That's the most badass comment is. Sorry, I forgot how many no-nos I threw.
True story. So we went out to Hofstra. It was either before the game or at halftime. I think it was at halftime.
I think, it was halftime.
Yeah, and I do remember, like, I hit a ball to right field, and Boomer was like, foul ball! And I'm like, come on, man. And then she did, she struck me out of the next one, that was for sure. Well, listen, I'm so glad that you checked in, and it's so nice to hear you doing well, and you're a mom now. And I'm glad
thank you
found the love of your life, and you guys are doing great. And please send my regards to your family, okay?
All right, will do. Thanks so much. It was
all right,
nice
sweetheart.
You both.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, have a great day. Bye.
I am getting old.
You feel old now?
Evan, I met her. She was in high school.
Wow.
She has two children.
A mom of two now.
She pays a mortgage.
Dude, I love you, but you're an old fart, man.
Like, I tell you, the first time I felt old, it was, I'll be honest about it, and I'm not sure if you, pardon me, if you've had this experience. Yeah, the first time I felt old was when I was older than the Playboy centerfold. And I was like, oh, no.
That was the moment?
Oh, no. It happened. I've gotten older. You know, it was the worst.
Most of us are like, oh, when our favorite player was younger than us. Like, no.
No.
When I opened up a magazine and I realized I was older.
The Playboy centerfold was, you know, born in like 1992.
Right.
And I was like, oh, Lord, this is what all the old men I know are talking about.
Because Big Mac's right. Like, my I feel old moment had everything to do with a baseball player retiring. And nothing to do with being older than the Playboy centerfold.
Yeah. By the way, Connor just checked. Olivia threw 12 no-hitters at the collegiate level.
That is crazy.
What's up? Not against me, though.
I don't know if this is true, but you remember our buddy Sean Morash who works here?
No.
Yeah. Well, he's a nice guy. He looks like a Cabbage Patch Kid.
As a matter of fact. Yeah. I bumped into him on the street and to Greg on the street. Yes. Yes.
Do you want to reveal that conversation with Sean? Because I got a conversation with Sean that I have to reveal.
Apparently, people are very sensitive to me referring to conversations I have on the street, so I am not going to refer to the... I saw Sean Morash coming up one of the streets, whatever it was, and he was more like, hey.
That was it?
That's all we got.
Really?
That was it.
Mr. Personality, Sean Morash was
that's all I got. That's all I give what I get. I got a head nod and a, hey, Craig, and I'm like, hey, buddy.
He's making a claim to me that I don't know if it's true, but I'll run it by you. He claims his dad got into a fist fight with Olivia at a softball game.
Well, I would say his dad's in the wrong then.
That's what he claims. They got into a fist fight over a fair foul call at a softball game.
Was Olivia coaching?
Playing? I think she was playing, I assume.
No,
this doesn't make sense because it was a softball Little League game. So I would assume she was umpiring or maybe she was coaching.
Who knows?
I don't know, but he claims there was a fight between his dad and Olivia.
Connor, call her back and ask her offline if she remembers a guy starting a fight with her at a softball game over a bad call.
And he
or
definitely,
an alleged bad call.
And I'm sure he started the fight, clearly.
I mean, I don't speak of the Morashes anymore in the show. They're wonderful, lovely people. But you can only have your life threatened once.
Oh, wait a second. I have a correction to the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Olivia's dad got into a fight with Sean's dad.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Yeah.
Well, the way he texted it to me made no... I thought I read it as she got into the fight. That's the way I read it. But apparently there was a dad fight. So her dad and his dad got into a fist fight
so
over
his
call
dad,
at a game.
Morris's dad's probably chirping at Olivia's dad.
Yeah.
Olivia. Olivia's dad's like, listen, buddy, slow your roll. That's my daughter out there. Be respectful. And then the two men got into it.
Yeah.
Got it.
I think apparently Morash's sister played softball as well, so there was a game going on.
Yeah.
They were both playing in said game.
I'll say this.
And the fathers got into a fight.
They do sound like a fun family to hang out with. I'll tell you that.
No question.
Like, if you're looking for a good time on Staten Island, just swing on by. There's a good chance that Sean's recording himself in front of a Ring camera.
That's
fun. Damn Giants. Wait, take it again. Let's do it again. Hold on. Damn Giants. No, hold on a second. One second. Let me do that again. Record it again. Hit play. Damn Giants.
Wait, okay. Car drove by. We'll do it again. Hold on.
Yeah, you probably didn't hear me. The car drove by. The exhaust was on. Here's Colin and Wyckoff on the fan. Colin, what's going on, buddy? How you been?
What's up, Craig and Evan? I've been great, and I'm bringing back memories now. I was blessed with my kids to meet you and Boomer, my son and my daughter.
Long time ago, yeah?
We'll go down memory lane. I'm a grandfather now, two grandchildren, and my daughter's 24. Hey, listen, I'm 60 years old, and I can go with it. Nothing changes.
Yeah, but didn't I meet your daughter when she was in, like, elementary school?
You met her when she was in sixth grade. They won the basketball championship.
Right.
And Boomer, nice enough to have her in.
Yeah, I remember meeting you, and you brought your kids in. Oh, my Lord.
They still talk about you and Boomer to this day, especially my son, the advice you gave him. And it was really, like, man-to-man stuff. Like you said, you pushed me to the side. You go, this is men talking. And you talked to my son, and he never forgot it.
Well, I'm glad it resonated. I should have taken my own advice.
No, listen, you guys have done all you've done, nothing but pleasure. I love listening to you. I'm going to give it up to somebody else to call.
All good. Hey, Conte, send my regards. Is she married with kids now?
No, my daughter's 24. She's a chemical engineer. She's single. No. No, she
got
does a thing.
Awesome.
They both went to good schools and did well.
Well, they got a good dad, so all good, buddy. Be well. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
One thing, they got my brains. They didn't get my looks because I never used my brains, so I shared them with them.
All right, pal, be good. I'll talk to you. Yeah, I don't know how we went down this direction, but we're going. We're in there.
Because you feel old. Basically, it's people taking turns reminding you how old you are. That's exactly what happened.
It's, you know, it's strange, though. Like, it's a gift. We're all blessed, like, to do what we do for a living, obviously. And I say this to a younger broadcasters. I've probably even shared it with Evan at some point. I know I've had the conversation at length with Boomer when we first started, and that when you do a talk radio show, people feel personal connection because you're on the air for so many hours a day. And if you're fortunate enough to have success and longevity, people feel like they really know you and they're part of your life because you share your life in some levels with an audience, right? And you get to meet a lot of really cool, neat people through public appearances or, you know, endorsements, whatever the case may be, you know, softball games, you know, baseball game, ball, whatever it might be, right?
Right.
And, you know, every now and then, if you do it long enough, like you and I both have, you know, you'll have someone come up to you who literally is like, you know, me and my dad listen to you guys every morning. It was my elementary school routine. And the guy's like, you know, a dad of it.
I know.
And it's like, God, I'm like, that, it means so much to me. But it's also a reminder, I'm getting old.
That is more than the baseball player retiring. When someone comes up to me and says, oh, I listened to you and Joe with my dad growing up. And I'm like, what? You're a grown-up now. It reminds you that we're old.
Yeah, like...
You more so than me, obviously, but we're old.
Of course. Now, I didn't act very old for a while, but I am an old man now. I'm boring. I don't do anything fun. I sit on my couch. I eat nachos. I watch television. And I chop wood. That's the extent of my weekends now.
Of Craig Carter.
Those are my weekends now. Chopping wood. That's about it. Here's Timmy in Northport. Timmy, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's happening, guys? So, Carton, I was at that game with you and Olivia.
Yeah, so you know I got a hit.
No. That is not how it went down. As I remember it correctly, you were taking pitches, whether they were strikes or not. And the only thing, you were just fouling them off. Like, you never actually got a hit. You were just watching, waiting for the meatball. You never got it. And then bing, bang, boom, like, you were just fouling pitches off. You never got a natural hit.
Now, there were a couple pitches I fouled off, yes. There were some pitches I admittedly swung through.
Did you get a hit, Craig? You claimed you had five. Now you didn't get any?
Yes. Line drive to right.
I don't remember it that way. However, you did kick some field goals that same day.
Yeah, so I did. I was able back in the day. I can't anymore. I was able to, you know, kick from about 40, 45, you know, money. Dead on, never miss, never miss, never miss. Yeah. And it's on camera, so you can check it. I can no longer do that, as I proved last training camp with Evan over at Florham Park. But I at least appreciate your acknowledging my prowess on the football field.
No, that's fine, but he said you never even got a hit.
He's wrong.
How do you go from I was 5 for 5 to, I fouled a few balls off?
Well, the way Olivia remembers it is that every pitch was its own at-bat. I don't remember it that way. That's all. I just don't remember it that way. We have a John Sterling update from yesterday's game. John in Jersey, what do you got, kiddo?
Hey, fellas. Speaking of getting old, I'm listening to John Sterling yesterday. And he was definitely getting heckled. He was definitely getting heckled the whole game. You heard it. It seemed like he was getting annoyed. He kept stopping his mid-thought. But in the top of the seventh inning, I don't know if you guys can pull this audio. In the top of the seventh inning, at one point, he stops and he says, "Can you please turn that down? It's very annoying. Thank you."
Wow.
And then continues talking as if nothing. Yeah, it was.
Connor,
it was like,
you got to find that now. Top of the seventh inning. Let's go back. We got
top of the seventh.
That.
Yep.
All right, we are.
It was, and then he just. Yeah, it was crazy. And like nobody knows what it was about, and then nobody talked about it after. It just,
all right, I'll tell you what.
And that was it.
I'm gonna hang up with you, John, and we found it, so I'm gonna play it. Okay.
Already?
Yeah,
all
we
right,
got.
Thank you.
I thank you, pal. All right, so here's the setup. Top of the seventh. This is yesterday, Yankee Stadium, and John Sterling. Let's take a listen.
And next, Astro to pinch hit for Yastrzemski. Lefty-righty switch, and the pitch cut on a miss. And the count 1-1. Cole, could you turn that down? That really is annoying. Thank you. Cole went 6 innings, no runs, 3 hits, 11 strikeouts, 2 walks.
Well, there's only 2 people you can be talking to.
He's Candy Maldonado.
He's either talking to Jack Candy Maldonado or Susan, right? I assume.
Or he was talking to a fan that maybe was like blasting a boombox.
I believe the producer is Matt Shortis.
Matt Shortis.
Jack Maldonado.
Way to throw Matt Shortis under the bus. Good job on that, Big
Mac. You're throwing Jack. He's not even there.
Okay. Fair point. Fair
whatever. Point. Was it the producer, Susan, or an unruly fan? That's the question.
Well, it can't be a fan because you hear the fan noise in the background and no one stood out. Like, if there was a guy who clearly was above the din of the crowd, you would have heard that on his microphone.
In fairness, wouldn't we have heard whatever he was asking to be tuned down?
Also, very good point. Maybe he was hearing things that didn't exist.
Or, yeah, he could have been hearing a voice. That's certainly on the table.
I hear voices all the time.
I hear voices in my head. They tell me. That's Randy Orton's theme song, but whatever. He may return at WrestleMania. We'll see.
Thought it was a Stephen Wright song. Sorry.
Yeah. We got to find out who it was. Can you get Shortis on the phone and ask him? Because God knows we're not getting Susan on the phone.
Sad but true. Sad but true. I'll take that one. We are not getting Susan on the phone. She hates my guts.
But yes. Matt Shortis seems, I heard Shortis is a huge Craig fan, so shouldn't be an issue. And just ask him, hey, what was John upset about? What did he hear that he was screaming, you need to turn that down?
That would be interesting, right? What if John forgot that he left an earbud in his ear and he was listening to a book on tape? And he didn't know what it was. Meanwhile, I'm getting a lot of. If you were at the game yesterday, and Big Mac, you can speak to this. There's a lot of people saying that you always know when you leave Yankee Stadium, there's always going to be some level of traffic. You know, whether you're going across the McCombs Dam Bridge to get out of the city, or you know, whatever, whichever way you go. And then once you kind of get out of there, or you get to the FDR. You know, it's a couple exits, and then you're pretty smooth, you know, by 10 o'clock at night, whatever it is. Now, recognizing yesterday was a 1 o'clock start. Started like 1:10, you know, because all the pregame stuff. Mm-hmm. Game ended at a ballpark, a 3:45. Even if you take your sweet time getting out of there, you are sitting in Thursday rush hour traffic on the FDR. And if you're crossing Manhattan, you know, that's a poop show regardless, on any day, right? But it took Big Mac almost 3 hours to go from Yankee Stadium I assume you took the FDR and didn't cross all the way and then take the West Side Highway
down,
right?
I ended up in the FDR at Houston Street and then took Houston all the way down.
And Houston's a mess at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon every day going from west to east regardless, right? Mm-hmm. But that means, Evan, that game ended at 3:45 and there's a chance that people didn't get home, people that drove Westchester, Long Island, Northern Jersey, till 7:30, 8 o'clock? That's crazy.
I think because everybody, and this is a good thing, I guess, even though it led to horrible traffic, everyone's leaving the game at the same time now. People aren't going to leave early anymore. Why would you leave a game early? Look at NBA games. People don't leave early. Look at NFL games, even though they're long. They're only once a week. People don't leave early. Baseball has forever been a game where people leave early. Well
they show up late, they leave early because there's so many games. You know, right.
It's also three-hour games. If it's a two-hour and 25-minute game, people aren't leaving early. They're not going to leave after 2 hours. They're not going to leave in the, the seventh inning anymore. So I think the speed of these games is actually going to lead to more traffic leaving baseball.
It might have something to do with that. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I think the main reason people leave early is to avoid traffic. Not because, it's been 3 hours done.
No, it's traffic. Or it's like, hey, like you there, with your wife, meaning someone else is watching your two boys.
Right.
And maybe, the babysitter, I'm speaking for you. It's good till a certain time, and you guys like, hey, we got to get home.
You think for a 7:10 game, because yesterday was a rarity. We'll get matinees throughout the year, but they're not often. You think for the 7 o'clock game, people are still going to leave? They're going to leave at 8:45 now?
But 9:30, I think there are people that will be
starting
to go.
Game's going to be over by 9:30. That's the point.
I think the people that leave the game, most of them leave to get ahead of the traffic, and that won't change.
Well, let's find out. For you to leave a game early, you're now going to have to leave before that clock strikes 9 o'clock.
I will not say this person's name, but you and I have a friend who is at that game and specifically left after 6. Specifically did not want to deal with the traffic.
Who?
Did I just tell you I'm not going to tell you the name or I'm going to tell you the name?
And I want to counter by saying why
I'm not telling you the person's name.
Why?
Because I'm not a rat.
It's about leaving a baseball game early.
Doesn't matter if that person wanted you to know, that person would tell you.
Is he or she a coworker?
We're not playing 21
so
questions.
So you're saying that Tiki Barber left the game early?
I don't know if Tiki Barber was even at the game. I imagine he probably wasn't.
So you're saying that Brandon Tierney left the game early?
I don't even know if Brandon was at the game. I imagine he wasn't.
I saw them both there. They were there for at least until the 8th inning.
Well, that doesn't mean they didn't leave early.
I can't guarantee they waited until the last pitch, but they were there in the 9th inning at some point.
My guy, your guy, our mutual friend, left after 6.
Who
not
was our
after
mutual?
8.
6.
Now, listen, 5-0 game after 8. I understand people starting to make the walk out. I get that. If you're not going to blow a 5-run lead, I get that.
Is this person a Yankee fan?
Again, I am not. Again, what part did I say we're playing guess the name of our friend?
Because I don't know why this person needs to remain anonymous.
Because who the person is not instrumental to the story.
I want to question their fandom is what I want to do.
This is a diehard, lifelong Yankee fan who's like, you know what?
What?
I'm just not dealing with the traffic.
What?
Yes. Yes.
A diehard, lifelong Yankee fan on opening day?
I don't give it the age. A diehard, in the womb, in the cradle wearing Yankee gear Yankee fan.
Well, I can think of one person only because he's done it before for a different sport. Would it be Mark Melusis?
Again, I'm not telling you who it is.
Why?
And Melusis left that nickname early because he had to go to work.
Okay.
And I respect work ethic. That being said, Big Mac is right. There are people that will leave the game regardless of the score.
All right.
Regardless of
Craig,
the opponent
Craig,
for traffic.
Here's what I will tell you. To you, Big Mac, and everybody listening, you know I go to an absurd amount of games. I'm going to keep track of this. This is going to be like a new feature in my scorecard.
I mean, you leave games early also.
No, I don't.
You don't?
What games do I leave
early? You want to retract that before you get caught in a vicious lie?
Okay, I'm going to rephrase it, not retract it.
Go.
I don't leave until a game is mathematically over. So if a basketball team is down by 25 with 3 minutes to go, it's mathematically over. Good day, sir.
So the Mets are up 7-0 in the 9th.
Won't leave. I don't leave baseball games early. They're never mathematically over.
So the Knicks are up 24 against the Nets. You're not leaving?
No, when it's mathematically over,
by the
when Jalen Brunson,
didn't,
it's a court.
Yeah, didn't the Knicks blow two 20-point leads last year to the Nets?
They did, but not with 3 minutes to go. The Knicks, when I left early for the last Nets-Knicks game, it was a 30-point game with 4 minutes to go.
Who won?
Really? You know who won!
To say it.
Not the Nets.
I can't even say it. then tell me we got, what's his name?
Matt Shortis.
Matt Shortis is on the line. Nice. I don't know if I know Matt, so I apologize, but Matt is one of the producers, I guess, of Yankee broadcast on the Fan, so appreciate him coming on. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So appreciate you coming on. I'm sure you have other things you'd like to do today. so we just played the sound of John in the top of the seventh asking somebody to turn something down because it was annoying him. Can you give us some insight into what was going on?
Yeah, so every radio booth, like for baseball stadiums, they'll have a little dial you can put up, you know, whatever. So for our booth, most of the time we'll have the press announcer. So, like, you know, they say
right.
Whoever's warming up in the bullpen or official scoring decision or whatever. And there's a volume control over that. So we had it a little bit louder. Most of us in the booth are wearing like full headphones, so we could hear it over those. And then John hears John wears an earpiece in one ear and then leaves the other ear open. So it was pretty loud and he found it distracting and then asked us to turn it down.
Okay.
Wow. So that's a simple explanation. Totally understandable.
Were fans taunting him or chanting at him during the game?
That happens many games a year. Really? A lot of times, you know, people will be on because there's a little terrace in front of our broadcast booth. So they go, John, Susan. You know,
yeah, but it's always positive, right?
Yeah. Yankee Stadium. Yeah, somebody wants a wave or a picture, you know, whatever.
Or they want him to give one of his, you know, signature home run calls or whatever it
is.
Right?
There was a group in front of us yesterday. They were going for a few innings, though. I heard them for sure.
That's awesome, though. Like that's the connection that's special. I don't know if John and Susan like it, but I think it's great.
Yeah, most of the time they like if it's like between innings, you know, John and Susan will interact with people and stuff. When John's trying to call a game. And somebody just keeps yelling, John, John. It can be a little
What's interesting about John, and now that we set up, you know, the John cam, which a lot of people enjoy on social media, you know, is very old school about is he only has the one earpiece in. It's kind of like us here on the radio. Like, I have headphones on, but I leave my right ear open, exposed, and the headphones on my left ear. But John does the old Edward Murrow thing where he takes his index finger and he covers the open ear with it while he's making, a speech or like a plan call for a home run, and that is a very old school maneuver.
He does, and sometimes if it's very loud in a room, he'll do that while he's talking to you too.
I mean, the guy's voice though has never quit, and he's in his 80s, and I'm amazed by that. It's awesome.
Yeah, he's a machine, and he's a testament to, you know, just longevity.
Hey, can you do me a solid though, since you're the guy in the booth now? I know we don't know each other, but if you don't mind, if I could ask for a favor. Now that we're chatting?
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
No, I'm just saying. Depends
what the ask is.
Depends who you're asking about.
Yeah.
Just tell, what's his name? Shellack?
Justin Shackle.
Oh, Justin Shackle.
Yeah, Tubby did a great job yesterday. I really enjoyed hearing him on our airwaves for the first time in an official capacity, right?
Well, he filled in for John a few times last year.
I miss those games, but I know he was on as a guest with Evan and I when he filled in, so sounds like a great kid, and he's going to be great and all that. During afternoon games, you know.
Speed it up.
Oh, yeah.
Speed it up a little bit. Okay. Like, nighttime games, go to midnight. We're good. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock games, you know, shorten it up.
I am curious, when John was pissed about that sound, you know, the sound that he heard, did you get scared? Because he sounded so angry. Like, were you like, oh, crap, let me shut this off.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not in the union. I hope he's not talking to me.
No, because I knew it was just like a momentary frustration.
All right. Well, listen.
I will say to your, because you guys were having the talk about the traffic. I know, like, last year we had a Red Sox game. That was a Friday afternoon, and it took me like 2 hours to get home. It took me 2 hours to get home yesterday. There are plenty of times where it's day games on a Saturday or Sunday where the traffic going home is brutal, too. So I don't think...
Where's home for you, if you don't mind me asking?
I live on Long Island.
Yeah, so listen, Long Island's going to be a bitch regardless, almost, as everyone that lives there knows. But I think Evan's point is right. You know, in the past, before they put this pitch clock in, there was at least a 50-50 shot that by the time you got out of there, which I imagine is a couple hours after a broadcast, just because of your responsibilities there, that you could get out pretty quick and be on the highway, and then it is what it is. But now that the games are being sped up, there is a greater likelihood that far more people stay to the very end. So for those people that were concerned about traffic, you know, that's a real thing.
Yeah. For a night game, we'll see. But for a day game, yeah, even
no doubt.
Traffic going home on a regular day.
Well, be good, and we look forward to meeting you one day soon, okay?
All right, and I'll give Justin a reminder tomorrow.
Yeah, just, you know, you're doing a great job.
And one thing for me, can you just say hi to Susan? I miss her. And that, you know, just because I work with this guy doesn't mean anything. It means I'm still a big fan.
I will pass it along.
Evan, you have her number. If you want to say hi, just call her and say hi. All right, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Be good.
All right, see you guys.
All right, there you go. All right, so now you know. Some jackass in the press box talking too loud.
Well, you know what it is? It's the official scorer saying, like, the finishing pitching line for everybody.
Right.
The pitch count, the attendance figures, game time temperature. That voice is throughout every game. So that ticked John off and annoyed him.
We got more calls coming up on Yankees and Mets yesterday. Mets start again in, about an hour or so. What time is first pitch? 5:30?
6:40. 6:40.
Oh, 6:40.
You got 2.5 hours.
We won't even be on the air. We'll be able to watch it. Great. All right, so a lot coming up. We got some hoops coming up and the latest on the New England Patriots trying to one-up the New York Jets by getting Lamar Jackson. So lots cooking. 877-337-6666. When I want takeout, I go Grubhub, my personal takeout expert. Grubhub makes it easy to figure out what I'm in the mood for by categorizing with easy labels. They know exactly what I want, when I want it, and they make it easy for me to order it. And then delivery, man, always reliable. And with Grubhub Plus, I get $0 delivery fees and donation matching at checkout. Terms and additional fees apply on orders. Grubhub makes life better with takeout. Download the Grubhub app today.
We are coming alive from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Town Fair Tire is Connecticut's largest name brand discount tire dealer. And with Town Fair Tire, you get the guaranteed lowest prices on all name brand tires. They honor all manufacturers' rebates. They even honor competitors' rebates with more than 100 stores from Connecticut through New England and an inventory of over 600,000 tires. Why go anywhere else? Name brands and discount prices. Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Yeah, with sports betting, the best thing you can do is have a game plan before you place a bet. Make sure you know how the game works and the odds of winning. Set a limit for how much time and money you want to spend, and never bet what you can't afford to lose. It's important to understand the risks that come with sports betting and how it could affect your health, relationships, and even your job. Know the signs of problem gambling and stick to the...
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one,
They're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.